Blog Talk Radio.
DJ Dre, what you got tonight? What you got?
Oh, I got something for you. I got something for you. Ready?
Got a little too sharp for y'all tonight.
What? What the rest of you gonna do, Rob? Then probably like Donald in the lead, but
Andre is too sharp too. Y'all didn't know he's only 5'3".
Man, on a special Monday night, I know we always try to keep you on your toes. We appreciate you following us, all that fun stuff. Today is April the 21st, and officially we are ready to talk, man. We got a lot of things to jump into, but without further ado, I always got to check in with my co-host, Mr. Rockford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Love the intro tonight. Got something new for y'all.
What's all about. So once again, I'm going to do the honors, Rob, as always, and I got to fill out the numbers if you want to call into the show. I'm going to post it real quick. It's been one of those crazy nights, but we're going to always do that. We're going to fill out the numbers if you want to follow us, call into the show. The number to call, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. We're also on Facebook. You know the drill. If you want to check us out on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you try to play and talk in sports with 12th Man, you will also find us via that fashion. And finally, last but not least, if you want to follow us via Twitter, I know we get a chance to engage you guys a lot of times via Twitter. If you want to check us out in that particular route, all you got to do is go to the number 12, THMAN Sports, that's our hashtag, and we are officially there. So, man, Rob, we got a lot of things to jump into. I know a lot of news. We are definitely going to talk about a lot of NBA playoffs. That's kind of what's first on the docket. But we do got to talk about a lot of exciting things as well as far as I got to get my draft thing out, my mock draft, because it looks like you've made a lot of changes. But let's jump right into it. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Rob, you ready?
Man, let's make this thing. We got a great game going on right now. I tell you, it's been a thriller. The Memphis Grizzlies and OKC going on as we speak. And matter of fact, Kevin Durant just tied the ball game already in overtime, 105-105.
Great, great stuff, man. So let's kind of kick it off, man. So there's been five teams five road teams, Rob, that have won game one. And I guess let's talk about these particular series. I know I'm in. I'm excited because my Hawks pulled off a win, and no one expected that. But I'm sure. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And what do you think about some of these road teams' chances, Rob, as far as pulling off a couple of these respective series, Rob?
Well, I tell you what, we'll start with the Brooklyn Nets going on the road and beating Toronto. And I actually like the Brooklyn Nets to continue. I think they'll win that series. Toronto's got some good young talent, but you got to go to Brooklyn's experience when you have players like Deron Williams, Joe Johnson, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. I take their experience over Toronto's youth in this particular series. So I'm going to predict, I'm going to go with Brooklyn to continue to hold out and win that series. The Clippers, I know they lost at home and Golden State won. I still like the Clippers to come back and win that series. So I'm going to still say the Clippers will win that series. I know they're off to a 10-point lead so far tonight against the Warriors. And I'm going to still go with the Clippers to hold on, to come back and win that series, even though Golden State won game one. And I bet you're going to like what I'm getting ready to say now. I actually like the Hawks to beat the Pacers, too. I like them as an 8 seed to beat the Pacers.
Wow.
I mean, the Pacers are right now just falling apart, and they don't seem to match up well with the Hawks. And the Hawks are playing really good ball. You got to give Mike Bodenheimer some credit here. And I like the way they're playing. I think they will hold on to beat the Indiana Pacers. Now, the other two road teams that won, the Washington Wizards against the Chicago Bulls. I actually like the Bulls to come back and win that series. But I like the Blazers. I like the Blazers to continue to beat the Rockets. And so out of the five teams that have won on the road, I like three of them to win their series respectively. And those three teams, Brooklyn Nets, Atlanta Hawks, and the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah,
I don't know your thoughts on those series.
Yeah, I definitely want to spend some thoughts on those as well, because it seems like, Rob, for the playoffs, it seems to be all about matchups, you know. And I want to talk about the Bullets. I'm calling them by the old name, the Bullets, but the Wizards. And like you said, certain times, you know, I think you obviously pick the Bulls to win it out. But certain players present matchup problems, you know, like a John Wall has been a matchup problem right now. So obviously Tom Thibodeau will figure out a way how to adjust that. But in this particular instance, John Wall played very well. He's a 6'3 guard. I know he's been trying to put Kirk Hinrichs on him to kind of throw things off. But that's a matchup problem. So the whole thing is, it's like you're playing chess, Rob. You figure out a move, the other team's going to come back, and let's figure out how we can adjust back to that. So, you know, like you said, I know you like the way that the Bulls are playing. They seem to have a solid team. Obviously, if they had Derrick Rose, you know, playing, they'd present a better matchup against the Wizards. But we'll see how that particular plays out. Another interesting series that we talked about, or that you talked about earlier, was definitely the Hawks and the Pacers. And obviously, being a Hawks fan, there hasn't been a lot of love for the Hawks, you know, but it seems like you mentioned, Indiana has kind of limped right into the playoffs, Rob. And I think a little bit they got the number one seed, which is what they wanted to accomplish. And they're the one team that matches up well against the Heat. But if they keep, you know, overlooking the Hawks, they're going to end up getting beat. And I agree with you. I think that the Hawks just match up well. And it's pretty surprising. If you have, like, a, what, 7'2" guy in Roy Hibbert, you would think, Rob, that you would just keep dumping it down low, because the Hawks don't have that type of size. But
yeah,
it's all about matchups, and Mike Budenholzer has been kind of pulling the right strings, and they've just been able to outplay the Pacers, kind of doing that pick and roll. But it's sad, Rob, because they're the one team that, if you're playing against the Heat, I think they would actually beat the Heat. You know, but like you said, well, not now, but the way that they were playing earlier in the year, but they just seem like they have a lot of turmoil. Another team, I don't know if you're kind of staying on the
Roy
Hibbert
is in a huge slump right now.
Yeah, he only scored, like, what, 8 points, something crazy like that. But like you said, it's another matchup. I mean, the Pacers have all the size, and yet and still they haven't quite figured out how to take advantage of that particular instance. You talked about the Blazers, Rob. You had, LaMarcus Aldridge going nuts. 47 something crazy. Yeah, and now it was overtime. But you know, here's a team that they're definitely not backing down, Rob. They've been playing extremely well. You know, against the Rockets. A few of you told me earlier that you know, with a squad like Dwight Howard, James Harden, you know, Jeremy Lin, even though, you know, obviously he's coming off the bench, but this is a squad that you would think that they would run over the Trailblazers, but the Trailblazers, they have some talent just as well. So everyone knows their roles. LaMarcus Aldridge had a blowout game. It's just a matter of time, too. I got to do one quick shout-out before we switch subjects, too, Rob. I got to give a quick shout-out to the Golden State Warriors as well. I know that we have the Clippers coming out of that, but Golden State always seems to match up well, once again, against the Clippers. And I don't know what it is, but just certain teams have certain success against another squad as well. So that's my little two cents, if you will, regarding those number one road teams, or excuse me, those road teams getting wins.
So you actually say you think Golden State's going to win their series too?
You know, I'm still going with Clippers. You know, I know that's going to break my father-in-law's heart. But you know, it's going to be a good series, though, no matter what. I think they're going to eke it out. I think when we talk about matchups once again, it's kind of playing that chess game. You know, right now, it's just one of those situations, again, Rob, where the Clippers have more talent, but it's just about matchups now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's what we have, guys. I know we kind of went – I know I went a little long-winded on that, so I had a lot to say, so I apologize about that. But let's keep moving in the NBA. And some interesting news, and we knew this was not a surprise whenever Phil Jackson got the Knick job. But, you know, Mike Woodson, my cousin, he is officially fired. And I guess Phil Jackson promises changes. So I guess rumors, Rob, is that Steve Kerr, the current analyst, is going to be the next head coach. Do you think that's definitely the case right about now?
Yeah, based on everything that we're hearing, I mean, Steve Kerr, if offered a position, will accept the job. I hear he had some, you know, concerns about moving to New York. You know, he's a West Coast guy, but based on what we're hearing, he will accept the offer because it's Phil Jackson to be the head coach of the Knicks. Obviously, it's not official just yet, so stay tuned. And but he looks to be the guy that Phil Jackson is leaning toward hiring to be the next head coach of the New York Knickerbockers.
Do you think this is a good move, Rob? I mean, is this the actual name that's going to get New Yorkers excited? Or because, you know, obviously he may get lit up because he's the first-time head coach, Rob. So is this a great move, you think, or is this a good move by the Knicks?
Well, this is what I kind of look at the situation here. Phil Jackson must know something about Steve Kerr that we don't know. I mean, obviously he's a very good broadcaster. Obviously he was a great shooter. He was a pretty decent general manager for the Phoenix Suns, but we haven't seen him as a head coach. But obviously Phil Jackson must know something about the guy. And I think it's going to be kind of similar to what Pat Riley has in Eric Spoelstra. Spoelstra knows if he's struggling with something, he can go to Pat Riley. And Steve Kerr is going to be in the same boat. If he's struggling with something, he can go to Phil Jackson for some help. Obviously Steve Kerr knows the triangle offense, which Phil Jackson is a big proponent of. He played in it. I'm sure he can teach it. I'm sure he can coach it. And he's always got the Zen master to help him if he has some questions. Just a quick update, Memphis has beat OKC in Game 2 in overtime, 111-105. That series is now tied at one game apiece. But getting back to the Knicks situation here, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be the kind of situation where he's a Phil Jackson guy, and Phil Jackson will be right there for him if he needs somebody to lean on.
Very interesting. I like the comparisons, Rob, that you talked about specifically regarding the triangle offense. Makes sense. You know, I don't know if he's going to light the world on fire like Doc Rivers did in his first coaching gig. But as you mentioned, I think it's an interesting move. I'm not quite sold on it just yet because, you know, just because you're a good analyst doesn't make you a good coach, but maybe he has something, like you said, maybe Phil Jackson knows something we don't know, and that he has a lot of confidence in Steve Kerr. But we'll keep an eye on that. Knicks fans, what do you think? Is this a good move? Are you guys excited? What? Steve Kerr is about to be, it looks like he's about to be the next coach for your Knickerbockers. But let's keep moving here in the NBA. I guess the question that we have, Rob, is about the Miami Heat. Can they, will they, three-peat? Is the question. Now, there's a lot of tread. It seems like this has been one of those challenging seasons for the Heat. You know, obviously Dwayne Wayne's been in and out. Chris Bosh, they picked up a couple of help, some help as far as, you know, with Greg Oden, a couple of squads, you know, Chris Anderson. Can I three-peat, Rob? That's the question I'm going to pose to you, sir.
I'm going to go yes, but obviously they're going to need a healthy Dwayne Wade. And that's going to be very important. Eric Spoelstra is going to be really smart with his minutes and having these breaks. I think they're going to have to really end some series quickly so they can give Wade the proper rest. Obviously, LeBron James, you know, he's either 1A or 1B when it comes to best player in the league, even though I think Kevin Durant is the more deserving MVP this season. It doesn't mean that that LeBron is the second best player of the league. You know, I think he's going to need some help to get this Miami team to the championship. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I think there's only one team in the league that can beat the Heat in a 7-game series, and I think that's the San Antonio Spurs. But here's the problem. If OKC and the Spurs plays in the Western Conference Finals, the Spurs, there's only one team in the league that I think I can beat the Spurs, and that's the OKC Thunder. So as you mentioned earlier in the show, it's about matchups here. And Oklahoma City matches up well with the Spurs. The Spurs match up well with the Heat, but the Heat match up well with the Thunder. So I'm predicting at the moment a Thunder and the Heat finals, and the Heat matches up well with the Thunder, which I would see the Heat winning that series.
Very interesting. Isn't that interesting how those different things definitely come out to play, Rob?
Absolutely,
It's just one of those situations, too, where it literally just depends on those particular matchups, too. So we'll keep an eye on that for real. I think the Heat, if they pull it off, Rob, it's definitely going to be on LeBron James' back again, like we talked about. But he does need help. I mean, you know, I know I think I've heard rumors that he may be a free agent at the end of the season. I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. But, you know, it's just something to think about, too. What's going to happen with that Heat. And I think this may be a challenging year because they have a lot of different things to think about if Dwayne is going to make his exit and whatnot too. But I haven't heard anything about that, but just kind of throwing that out there for sure. Real quick, I want to throw out the numbers again. Once again, 424-243-9519. That is the number calling the show. And let's keep it moving here. And I know we were talking about the NBA, and we were talking earlier about the Blazers, and here's a squad, Rob, that is really talented, and you know, they've got an excellent young point guard in Damian Lillard, and I guess the question is, can he lead the Blazers to the championship? And is the West too tough? You got to go against a great bunch of Brunson guards. You have to earn your medal. You got the Chris Pauls of the world, the Tony Parkers, the Russell Westbrooks. I mean, obviously, this is a great way to prove yourself, but can he lead the Blazers to a championship, Rob?
Well, I think when you look at Damian Lillard, I think you're looking at a point guard who's very tough, who's only going to get better. He's the complete package. And I think that Portland team, he and LaMarcus Aldridge, Nick Batum, continue to add some decent bench weapons and role players to that roster. Lillard, I believe, can lead this team to a championship. Not this season, but I think in the future. This guy, I think, is a championship-caliber player. I think he definitely can lead the right team. I think he's a leader. I definitely think he can lead the Trailblazers to a championship at some point in his career.
Yeah, I agree. He's got too much talent not to, Rob. And, you know, they just have to add a couple pieces. And it's that fine chemistry that you're trying to find. I said fine. F-I-N-E that you're trying to find as far as that too. But, you know, this guy already proved a lot. You got a veteran in Aldridge. You got Nicholas Batum like you talked about. You got to add some more role players to that particular squad. And they're definitely going to be battling. And like you said, I think it's really great that he gets a chance to see all of these great guards to model his game after. You know, obviously I think he's different than a lot of these, than a lot of the point guards, but it's just good to see how he's able to test himself. So that's how you get better, Rob. You definitely watch and you know, go against the Chris Paul, like I said, and kind of figure out that too. So we'll keep moving. We talked about this earlier a little bit. The Pacers, are they going to get out of the first round? Obviously, I'm going to go no, because not only I'm a Hawks guy, but I just think the Hawks match up well against the Pacers. They've been figuring out how to confuse him. Got to give a lot of props to Mike Budenholzer, the coach of the Hawks. He's been calling a great game. And what's surprising about this, Rob, this is without Al Horford. I mean, so you talk about just a very amazing coaching job. You know, I can't wait to see whenever we add some more pieces, we get some more shooters. This can be we're going to be the Spurs of the East, you know. So I'm very excited about the future about Mr. Budenholzer.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you look at the team, they're out hustling the Pacers. And I know we talked a little bit. This is probably a duplicate subject here. I apologize about that. But I would definitely say I think the Pacers are going on the first round, which will be staggering. I mean, they just stumbled down the stretch big time and it's carrying over to the playoffs. I think they're out round one.
Nice. Let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Are they too old to go far in the playoffs? I mean, you know, you added a lot of veteran pieces, Rob. You added Kevin Durant. You added Paul Pierce. You know, a lot of interesting pieces. But are they too old, Rob? Take it so far?
I think they're going to go to the next round, that's for sure. I think they're going to beat the Raptors. I think they make the second round of the playoffs. I think they are a team that can challenge the Miami Heat tremendously in the second round. And I think it would take Miami 7 games to win that series. But I think the Heat in the end will pull it out. But I think it would be a 6-7 game series for sure.
Love it, love it, love it. That's what we got, man. We've completely talked about some NBA playoffs because it's what's happening right now. So good stuff for sure. And you know, we'd love to get your feedback as always on this special Monday night edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Man, so it looks like, Rob, we are officially ready to dive into some NFL talk. We got about 9 minutes in the show, so it looks like we can spend the rest of that talking about draft talk, which we always seem to, like, get that right into the OT portion. But this is enough time, too. So looks like, Rob, you've made some adjustments here to the mock draft, and, you know, you put this subject big changes. Tell us what you meant by that right here.
Well, obviously, in just about every mock draft I've had since February here, I've had Blake Bortles going to the Houston Texans at the number one position. So that's the number one change here. I now have the Texans favoring Jadeveon Clowney, who I believe is the best player in the draft, and with the Texans targeting a possible quarterback in the second round of the draft. So based on what I'm feeling, I think they're leaning toward Clowney. They believe he's going to be too good to pass up, too good of a talent, and they're going to pass on the QB in the first round. That's the big change, of course. And, of course, I have Blake Bortles now going to number 4 to Cleveland. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, I had him going number 1 to Houston. And I believe every mock draft I've done since February. So now I have him going number 4 to Cleveland, which would be a solid pickup. Obviously, I think Cleveland is also high on Johnny Manziel. They consider him. I think they make a slightly safer pick with Bortles going to the number 4 position. And Johnny Manziel going number 8 to Minnesota. Everybody compares Manziel to Fran Tarkenton. Obviously, Fran Tarkenton had a great career with the Minnesota Vikings. And you can see Johnny Manziel in the Minnesota Vikings uniform. So those were probably the three, big changes, of course. Obviously, there's some more throughout the draft, and we can kind of focus on some of those as well. I don't know if you have anything in the draft that you would like to bring up, definitely those are some of the big changes here in this particular draft.
Woohoo! Big changes, big changes. That's what Rob said. I got all excited about that. This is what I got to say, Rob. I keep hearing, in Houston, they own, what's the word I'm looking for? It looks like either they're A, throwing smoke screens out there. Who knows, Rob? I keep hearing that they're not really, they're leaning towards, Khalil Mack may be the best player, So then they talk about Jadeveon Clowney, and then it's, getting the quarterback. So, until they actually throw that card in, Rob, it's going to be very, very interesting as far as that. But interesting moves. I think if they do go quarterback, I think that St. Louis is going to run and get Jadeveon Clowney, which is going to shake up the draft a little bit. And I like, I still think Jacksonville may go quarterback with that particular pick. But, if you're Minnesota, you're just hoping that Johnny Manziel is still there at 8, So we'll keep an eye on that as well. We always seem to always stop at a certain point. So I think we always stop around the top 10. We've kind of dived into a couple of different things here. But, we've been kind of picking and choosing everything that's gonna happen here. And I guess let's talk a little bit about, looks like you've got Teddy Bridgewater dropping all the way to 20. So that is very, very interesting. I guess, is that just due to the teams in front of him or just a situation where he's kind of falling in the draft, Rob? Rob, you still with me? looks like Rob has dropped off. Ooh, there he is. Rob, you back with me? Sorry.
Yeah, yes. Teddy Bridgewater is definitely falling in the draft. And obviously some of it is some smoke screens. I think there's some GMs around the league that are still very high on him. And, you know, and I think some of it is, you know, rumors spreading around the league. So he can drop to a particular team and things of that nature. A lot of these teams play these kind of games. I think as of now, he's still going to be a first rounder, but it's probably going to be a late first rounder, somewhere between 20 and 30 at the moment. I still see him in that regard. I know there's a few draft pundits out there that haven't fallen in the second round. I don't see that just yet. I still see him going somewhere between 20 and 30.
There's a lot of interesting moves, Rob, that's happening. You know, I know there's been a lot of pro days that have been going down. And this is kind of one of those tough things to pick and choose, Rob, but I kind of like how you made some adjustments here. Definitely, I guess as I'm kind of looking at some particular players here, it seems like you've kind of moved up a couple different things here. And I guess we can go pick by pick if you want to. We don't have to go that long in the OT portion, or, you know, kind of let me know where you want to dive into, because we do have some time to talk about definitely the mock draft that you put up here, sir.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about Teddy Bridgewater. Obviously, when you look at, you know, Greg Robinson, I think St. Louis would love to have Clowney, even though they have Robert Quinn and Chris Long. I mean, they would love to get their hands on Clowney if possible. If not, they go to Greg Robinson here to give them some protection for Sam Bradford and to try to boost up that running game even more as well. Khalil Mack is a guy that some personnel directors have him rated as number two, as the second best player in the draft, right behind Clowney. Obviously, I don't see Bradley passing up on Khalil Mack if he's still available. I had Derek Carr falling a little bit in my last mock, but I got him back going to number five in number Oakland. I think he's a lot highly regarded than what some draft pundits are saying at the moment. I have him moving up to the top five at the moment. Of course, Jake Matthews, number six, to your Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons continue to try to improve in the trenches. Sammy Watkins, this is a scary proposition if he goes to Tampa Bay. Not sure if Tampa have the quarterback in place yet, even though I know Josh McCown had a great year with the Bears. But you pair Watkins with a Vincent Jackson, that could be a dynamic duo at the receiver position. Yeah, both of our teams in the NFC South will have to deal with. Mike Evans will be a great fit for Buffalo, getting them some weapons on the edge. Go with Stevie Johnson to play with E.J. Manuel. That would be awesome as well. Anthony Barr, this is the third straight draft I've had him going to Detroit. It looks like Detroit, you know, is looking to add some athleticism, some talent, you know, as far as pass rushing is concerned. They believe he's got a world potential as well. I know we're getting ready to end our live portion. We have a lot more draft coverage coming up here in our OT portion, so you definitely want to listen to this on tomorrow, sitting at home, sitting at the office, driving. Click the same link and you can go to our OT portion and get the remainder of our draft coverage. Meanwhile, you definitely want to join us on next week. Next Tuesday night, we'll be back with you, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, and that will be 5 p.m. to our friends in Hawaii. Aloha to you all. Good night, people.
Good night, people. We appreciate that, and we got about 17 seconds. But as always, I appreciate Rob doing the sign-off, and we'll get some music going out, too. I like the little, hope you like the blow the whistle. We'll keep it moving. We're having fun, as always. We'll get that in there. Good deal. We are now officially into the OT portion, and as Rob mentioned, we can keep it moving here. We got to talk a lot of stuff. Well, actually, I got like a minute or so left, man. So let's keep moving here as we get ready to kind of have them kind of get a quick sampling of what we talk about in the OT portion. You know, I think we were talking about what's been happening the last couple of weeks between Tampa Bay and Minnesota. And, you know, obviously Anthony Barr going. This is pretty interesting, too. So as we keep going, we're kind of past the top ten here. And I don't think anything that really – there's a lot of things that stand out in this particular instance. But one thing I did want to point out, you've got at number 14, Aaron Donald going pretty high to Pittsburgh. Let's kind of talk about the 14th and the rest of the picks for the first round, if you will. So Aaron Donald, defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. Great move for Chicago. What do you think about this move, Rob?
Well, the Bears are one of the few teams in the league that's still playing a 4-3 defense, and Aaron Donald is a perfect 4-3 defensive tackle. He can be the under tackle, the 3 technique, and has great pass rushing abilities. He's got a quick first step. I think he's a perfect defensive tackle for their system. Cover 2. Obviously, I don't think he has a top 10 grade, but he would be a great fit for Tampa Bay as well at 7. But he doesn't have the grade to equal the pick. So I see him going to Chicago right here. I think it's a great pickup for their defense. Like I said, a guy who can play, who can be that pass rushing under tackle, 3 technique tackle for the Bears.
Number 15, you got Pittsburgh taking Darquez Denard, the cornerback from Michigan State. I'm a huge fan of Michigan State's defense, a lot of the players, and it seems like if you're Pittsburgh, you're getting another guy that kind of fits in their defensive scheme, Rob. They always seem to draft extremely well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had Denard going to Pittsburgh in quite a few drafts at the moment. Pittsburgh definitely needs some help at the cornerback position. They still haven't quite recovered from letting Keenan Lewis sign with the Saints over a year ago. And so they still need some young depth. They still need some talent at the position. Denard will be a great pickup for them.
Number 16, how about good Cowboys? I always like saying that. Bradley Roby, the quarterback from Ohio State, clearly talented. He's got some minor issues, Rob, but Dallas is still trying to strike fire, man. They ended up picking Morris Claiborne. He definitely struggled, so you hope that his struggles will make him a better corner. They just keep loading up and getting younger, which is pretty surprising. You think they go veteran at some point, but they keep going younger, Rob.
Well, obviously, you knew they need some depth at the corner position. They need some help in the secondary. They've got to improve in the back end of their defense. Roby, I have this as the highest I've slotted him in the draft. I've had him in the late 20s, even into the early second round, so this is a big jump for him. Obviously, he was impressive at his pro day, very talented player, and I think this is going to be a good pickup for the Cowboys.
Ohio State's starting to get that mantra. There's, you know, you call it like, you know, you've got, you know, back in the day, you've got USC used to be running back you, and then, they used to be known to put out, like, a lot of great linebackers. But it seems like, for some reason, the Ohio State seems to put out, like, a lot of good cornerbacks. So we'll keep an eye on that. And in particular, I know the Cowboys, like you said, they definitely are depth for secondary. I'm not going to make any jokes about Tony Romo or anything like that, so we'll keep that. Keep it moving, as always. And the reason why I talk about jokes is because the next player is Baltimore and Ha-Ha Clinton Dixon, the safety from Alabama. You talk about just a great player. I know this is kind of I think you have him as the only safety going in the first round, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully I'm correct with that, but maybe the only safety worth a first round grade. Once again, we have Calvin Pryor
from Louisville going very next pick.
That's right. I saw that. I just missed that. I apologize. Okay, I don't know if he was a corner or cornerback or safety, but yeah. So Ha-Ha Dix going to Baltimore. Looks like they're still kind of looking for a replacement route for Ed Reed. I think this would be the perfect guy. And same thing, there's two players that seem to fit that defense well, C.J. Mosley and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Why did you go Ha-Ha whenever you made this particular change? And I got to laugh when I say Ha-Ha. This is something that I always do.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the Ravens, you mentioned it, the Ed Reed factor. They have to get better in that back end of their defense. They had a lot of injuries at corner, and they can use some help at the safety position as well. I think this is and C.J. Mosley, there are some slight concerns. The talent is there. There's a little bit of an injury risk there that some teams are afraid of. But I think Ha-Ha Clinton will be a little bit safer pick.
I totally missed this, but you got the Jets taking Calvin Pryor, safety from Louisville, and I know the Falcons had him as a target too. What do you think about Calvin Pryor? This is a very talented player from Louisville.
Oh yeah, absolutely. A guy with great range, great cover skills, great tackler. I think his guy is a ball hawk. He'll be able to force some turnovers. And Rex Ryan needs that in the back end of the defense. The only other position I can see them taking here will be wide receiver. Obviously, Odell Beckham is going to the very next pick to Miami. Brandon Cooks is another guy that the Jets like. So I think it will be one of these two safeties or it'll be a receiver here for the Jets.
Interesting move at number 19, Miami getting Odell Beckham Jr., the wide receiver from Louisville. From LSU. And I guess the question, Rob, is that you would think that Miami would be in the market for an offensive tackle. You went totally different with wide receiver, which is a great pick. And obviously Mike Wallace there, he had an up-and-down season last year. I'm sure we can agree upon that. If you get Odell, this would maybe open it up for Mike Wallace, maybe allow him to make a couple plays. But why did he choose to go wide receiver versus maybe going with an offensive tackle or offensive lineman?
Well, you know, you got to follow your board here as well, see how the rest of the draft ahead of you are going. I think Odell Beckham could help them become more of a dynamic offense. You add him to Mike Wallace in the passing game. At the moment, the next best offensive lineman is Zach Martin. And, you know, 19, if you decide to go that route for the Dolphins, which I've had them going in quite a few previous drafts, is not that big of a reach. So I think you're going to have to make a quick decision and be prepared to make that decision come draft night for the Dolphins.
Interesting pick. This is the guy that, you know, we've heard a lot about with everything that's been going on with the evaluations. He's definitely dropped. I mean, if I would have told you last year that Teddy Bridgewater would fall away to 20, I would say you're crazy. But if this does happen, Rob, this is a huge, huge deal for Arizona. They get their guy. They can still, groom him because maybe he's not quite ready. Maybe he can learn something from Carson Palmer. But this would be a huge, huge deal in Arizona. Thumbs up if they actually make this move, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously, when you look at Teddy Bridgewater here, you know, all prior during the football season, everybody thought he was number one pick in the draft. I think there's still that talent there. The guy obviously didn't do well on pro days and supposedly, reportedly, hasn't been doing that great in individual workout for teams. I think if you're Arizona, you maybe can fix a couple of things, but I think the talent is still there. And I still think he may be better quarterback in the NFL than he will be than some of the guys that are going to be picked ahead of him. Not all of them, but at the moment, I have three quarterbacks going ahead of him in this draft, and I'll be willing to bet that he'll be better than at least two of them.
Wow. That is why it is not an exact science for sure. 21, C.J. Mosley, inside linebacker from Alabama. And we talked about this earlier. If you are Green Bay, you just keep loading weapons. You know, you already have a pretty explosive player in Clay Matthews. This is a great pickup for C.J. Mosley. So what do you think about this move as well, sir?
Well, obviously, you know, Green Bay runs that 3-4 defense. Alabama plays 3-4 defense. C.J. Mosley is entrenched in the middle, inside linebacker in a 3-4 defense. I think it would be a perfect transition. I think he can help this Green Bay defense tremendously.
If you are the Philadelphia Eagles, as much as I hate to say that, looks like they are ready to keep building offensive line depth. Got them taking Zach Martin, the offensive tackle slash guard from Notre Dame. Great, great, good, really solid, really good player, Rob. This is a great pickup if you're Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's versatile. He can play multiple positions on the offensive line. Obviously, this is a guy the Dolphins could really strongly consider at 19 as well. And I think if Philadelphia, you can play him at the right tackle. You can play him at guard starting out. You can do a lot of different things with him. Well coached in college. Philly's another team that could look at a receiver here to replace DeSean Jackson. So that will also be something to watch.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if they stay with that move, Robert. They may go wide receiver. So we'll keep an eye because they've lost the weapons. So that may be a good move for them. That's where Brandon Cook, or if Beckham was there, we'll see how that plays out too. Looks like for 23, you've got the Kansas City Chiefs taking Lewis Nix, the huge, ultra-talented, maybe underachieving defensive tackle from Notre Dame. And they need to get some depth because they lost a lot of players, obviously, some of the Falcons, and they've lost some players too. But what do you think about Lewis Nix going to Kansas City?
Well, obviously, he's the perfect 3-4 defensive tackle. Not really a great pass rusher. But, boy, he will clog up that middle. He will shed blockers. He will stuff the run. So I think it will be a perfect nose guard, nose tackle for this 3-4 defense in Kansas City. I tell you what, San Diego will love for them, love for Lewis Nix to follow him. Two more picks at 25.
Yeah, you think they're trying to, like, you know, disparage his image and try to get him to come? Nah, we'll see how that plays out. Cincinnati, they lost their top defensive end in Michael Johnson. Word on the street, Rod, maybe it's because of Geno Atkins being more of a talented player. But I guess they get the next best thing in Coney Ealy, the defensive end from Missouri.
Yeah, he's got great athleticism. He knows how to beat the double team. That would definitely help him in his defense. Geno Atkins, hopefully you're going to get him back. His defense could be right back on track for the Cincinnati Bengals.
25, San Diego got Ryan Shazier, outside linebacker from Ohio State. Man, it's like you talked about earlier, you know, since San Diego's hoping and praying that Lewis Nix falls in them, but I do not think, Rob, this is a bad consolation prize.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You look at Ryan Shazier. He's a little small. You want to get him a little bit bigger, being an outside linebacker in the 3-4 defense, but he's got great pass rushing skills. This guy is an outside linebacker. I think he can work in both a 3-4 or 4-3. Very versatile. Obviously, San Diego plays a 3-4, and he would definitely help them in their pass rushing, which the Chargers definitely need.
Love it. And like I said, if you're Cleveland, I know we always keep talking about this, Rob, because we've got about 3 minutes left in the show. We always like to make fun of Cleveland, but if they're able to pull this off, I mean, I don't think we can make fun of them too long. If they actually pull off a way to get their quarterback, Rob, with that first pick, like you talked about earlier in the first half, they get Blake Bortles, they can come right back around and get the best player available once again, and they can turn around and end up drafting a wide receiver. So, you know, that's exactly what you have to do. You've got to take Brandon Cooks, wide receiver from Oregon State. Great, great move, Rob. They get more explosive. Their defense is already pretty good. So tell us a little bit more about what your thought process behind this particular pick was as well. Oop, Rob's still with me?
Oh, yeah. When you look at Brandon Cooks here, this guy's got great hands, going to be a great slot receiver. Great burst. This is a guy that's climbed into the first round. He has the potential to even go a lot higher. I tell you what, the New Orleans Saints are in love with him too. Would love for him to fall one spot to the number 27 position as well. But I obviously have him going to Cleveland right here, 26.
Very nice. So the next pick is your New Orleans Saints. We got about a minute left, Rob. Let's go ahead and wrap this up too, and we'll keep moving. We did a great job, so I just looked at the time. I apologize. Let's wrap up the show and get ready for next week.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the New Orleans Saints here. I don't think defensive tackle is a real big need for the Saints right now with Timmy Jernigan. But you just have Roderick Buckley to take a pay cut. And then, of course, you have the big guy from the University of Georgia on the roster as well. So, you know, maybe you can use a little help. Jernigan, I think, still more suited for the 4-3. I think if you get him a little bit bigger, he's got quick feet, and he's a solid pass rusher who can get to the quarterback from a defensive tackle standpoint. So this will be one of those kind of situations where I don't think it's a huge need. Saints drafting the best player available.
Good night, people. We'll see you guys next week, same time, same channel.
Good night, people. Next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Central. 10 p.m. Central. Love it. I think you're officially off. Thank you so much for talking sports. I literally see like 11:45 too, so give us a little extra time. But we'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for listening in, especially on this special Monday night edition talking sports for the 12th man. Good night, people.